The following programming is sponsored by Doreen Taylor Music, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. What's going on?
Hey, USA, what is going on? Welcome to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, setting the scene every week to help you find out what's happening in music, TV, movies, sports, the arts, and everything in between. We're proud to be syndicated on stations coast to coast and originating right here in the city of brotherly love on Philadelphia's number one talk radio station, Talk 860 WWDB. Get insider access and go behind the scene on our show's official website, thescenewithdoreen.com, and watch us every single week on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash, available in every major city in the U.S. And it's another week again. It's time is flying, and I am here to welcome my incredible producer, Matt Menarek. Hi, Matt.
Hello, Doreen. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I am feeling very nostalgic for the show today.
Yes, you have some guests that will make you feel that way.
I think so. And especially, you know, we talk a lot about the people that are, well, the people that are involved in a lot of the projects, but we never talk about the things. Like things when you think of a movie or a TV show when you're a kid, or even now, a house. You know, when you think of a set or a location, like, do you have a movie that a house just pops out at you that you think of?
Oh, yeah. The first one that pops in my mind is Home Alone.
Of course,
Home Alone. The Home Alone house.
I want that house. That is an amazingly beautiful house.
That is. And you kind of think, how do these people, what do these people do that they could afford to bring on? But
it's true, right?
Yeah.
And then after, to own that house and be part of that history, that's a whole nother ball of wax and what it's like to even live in that house after it becomes famous.
Yeah, that has to be pretty amazing because, you know, you could be watching that movie sitting in the house and you own that house and living in it. And you're like, that happened right here.
And then people are looking in the windows, probably trying to sneak a peek. You know, I mean, think about it. Like all these people who make these like journeys to go see this house or take the photos in front of this house just to say they saw it. You know, people do it. Like look in LA, they have the star maps where they want to see the homes or they want to see the locations of certain, like location shots of certain houses and stuff.
Oh, those are awesome. I go on those websites sometimes just to see where certain things are. When I lived in Georgia, this isn't a movie, but TV show.
Yeah.
We went on a Walking Dead tour because we like the show The Walking Dead.
Filmed down there.
And it was right near, it was like a couple hours from where I was stationed, so we went around to all the filming locations, to Alexandria, the town. Yeah. I mean, it was awesome.
It brings you part, like, into that movie or that show. It makes you feel like you are part of it in a way. Like, I went to, the Southern California area where they're all there. I mean, a lot of these, you know, houses are there because it's convenient that they shoot them. But like the Beverly Hills 90210 house.
Yeah.
That one immediately. I had to look that up when I was there and I had to find where that was because it's just something, you know, I kind of grew up with watching.
Yeah. Back to the Future house.
That's
Marty McFly's house.
Yes, yes.
All that stuff. Yeah. I mean, I love looking up that stuff. I mean, if we were closer. Now, of course, there's stuff because we're Philadelphia that, you know, there's Rocky was filmed here. Mm-hmm. Trading Places was filmed here. There's so many iconic places around here, too. So, yeah, it's just cool to see that you saw something on a screen and now you're standing right in front of it.
Yes, but think about it. How is it for the homeowners now? And our guest today, our first guest, is going to tell us because he just came out with this incredible documentary all about this issue. It's called The House From, and it really dives into this cool thing. And I don't want to give it away because I want to bring him on. But it's you know, if you like that kind of thing, stick around because this is going to be cool.
Oh, this is going to be fun. We should get to it right now.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
Today on The Scene with Doreen, we're going to do something a little different. I will usually interview the people that are involved in making a movie, whether it be actors, directors, producers, musicians, but I rarely get to discuss at length the things that go into a movie, whether it be a script, a costume, a prop, or in my first guest's case, the house. Several months ago, I had the honor of attending a private pre-screening of one of the newest and hottest documentaries called The House From. It explores the unique experience of living in a famous house from a TV show or movie, and the positive and negative experiences that go along with that. Take a listen.
Home is where the heart is. But what if you lived in a famous house?
I owned the Pee Wee House.
A house that is extremely well known for appearing on a television show or in a movie.
Stifler was here. They were peeing from up there.
For many people who visit the house from their favorite TV show, it can feel like they're part of the show.
Hey, Miss Parker! We feel a connection to them because we grew up watching them.
For the homeowner,
people would come and take fixings off the house.
It can feel like trespassing.
She stood up and was like, get the f*** out of here, asshole. She sleeps with a shotgun next to her bed.
Director, producer, and creative visionary Tommy Avalone has been responsible for incredible documentaries like The Bill Murray Stories, I Am Santa Claus, Ghost Heads, and I Love You, You Hate Me. His latest documentary, The House From, explores the homes that have taken on a life of their own from projects like Full House, The Golden Girls, Breaking Bad, Home Alone, The Goonies, and A Christmas Story, just to name a few. High off winning Best Documentary at the Smod Castle Film Festival, The House From is currently the number one documentary on Apple TV. And here to talk all about it and more is the director and co-writer of The House From, the wonderfully talented Tommy Avalone. Hi, Tommy. What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you. It's fun to hear like you go from your natural voice to your radio voice.
My radio voice. I know, right? I try to get it
everything's
out.
Everything's slowed down a little bit. It's like, Doug, it's like you just slow it down, you know?
It's true.
We're here on the scene with Doreen.
Yes. And it drops about an octave as well.
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
You know, got the sexiness going on. Oh, see, you know me. You got my number. See, we know each other. So you know I can't BS you. You know.
Well, yeah, because you're like, oh, yeah, we'll do this. We'll do this 10 minutes. Okay. And now on the scene with Doreen.
Well, you got me. And
well, I mean, I worked in radio for so many years, and like,
you know,
somebody morning zoo, they'd be like, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and then it gets all wacky as soon as you know get on the air or slow down, or like people like hold their mouth back. So it's like they go, ah, nah, you know, like it's like a pull back on the way that people talk.
It's true. They have a different pronunciation, a different projection, a different support. Everything changes. It's like singing. It's kind of like everything just changes. That's why I do this well, because I was, you know, a singer in a former life. So it kind of just is a natural progression. See? Like you have many former lives. But I do have to say, before we get into all that, happy birthday.
And oh, thank you.
We tape in advance. So today, as we speak, is your actual birthday. So what is it, 21? Are you legal to drink now?
Wouldn't that be great?
I don't know, because that means you've been breaking the law for a really long time. I don't know if that's so great, but yeah. What are you going to do to celebrate?
I feel like I have VHSs older than 21.
I think most of those.
Wait, you can't even see this.
I can totally see you. You're both.
But the listeners won't be able to.
Radio,
you know?
No. TV, though, yes. So yes. We do it both. We cover both sides of the fence.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're going to be all camera purdy. You know, we're going to have you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'll try to smile more.
Nationally syndicated television, baby. And radio. But yeah. You know, I was going to say how you're going to celebrate on your birthday, but you have a lot to celebrate on this birthday. Congrats on winning Best Documentary at Kevin Smith's Modcastle Film Festival.
Yeah, that was exciting. You know, we premiered the movie there Friday. And, you know, I'm a huge, huge fan of Kevin Smith. You know, some of my early, you know, movie locations I would go see would be Quick Stop and RST Video. So it does feel very full circle. I took the award, and when driving back, I went to the Quick Stop and RST Video and took a picture outside. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, definitely to win. And also, you just hit number one documentary this morning in the entire country on Apple TV.
Yeah, I was excited about that. You know, our Bill Murray Stories documentary, when that came out, that was number one documentary for an hour. So
wow.
We've already passed
Whoa.
That. I woke up this morning and we're number one. So that was very helpful.
See, I should have played Queen. We Are the Champions coming into this. I had no idea. But yes, so that alone is a pretty cool birthday gift, I got to say.
I know, right? Yeah, I'm excited about it.
So how does one stay number one? How do you get people to, you know, how do you keep that pole position?
Well, thankfully, it is my birthday, so I could guilt people into buying it for... You know, in lieu of presents,
Smart. I like that. See, you're always thinking. You are the king of always thinking kind of outside the box and of ways to kind of self-promote. That's very cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. And I swear I don't plan it, but a lot of our movies do come out in the October area. So I do use the birthday thing a lot. You know, Bill Murray Stories came in October. I Love You, You Hate Me came in October.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus came out like November. December.
Yeah.
So it's not too far off. And obviously The House From just came out.
Well, I Am Santa Claus could have been a guilt of Christmas gifts, too. So, see, you had the double whammy of both.
Yeah, well, I mean, now I can do it again because the 10th anniversary Blu-ray is coming out this year. By the time this drops, you'll probably be available to purchase.
Very cool. I do have some stuff I want to talk about that later in the show because that is a very interesting project you did. But let's talk about the new one first.
Sure.
The House From. The story reminds me of little shows of HGTV's House Hunters. It's this fascination of seeing what's behind someone's front door. And in your case, it's these iconic homes from movie or movies or TV. Was that, I kind of know your backstory, but tell my listeners, how did that come to be?
Yeah, I mean, I live 15 minutes from the Rocky Steps. And like I said earlier, once I realized I was 90 minutes from Kevin Smith locations, so going to movie locations is always sort of my thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I used to work in Philadelphia and I would walk by Real History, the Liberty Bell or Ben Franklin's grave, and I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
You know, anytime I would go to Los Angeles, I was like, I could go to the Wonder Years house or the Freddy Krueger house.
Yeah.
You know, that was the history that I always was into.
Right.
So, you know, showing up with a camera and asking someone if we could film was a logical next step. So I've always been into movie locations.
Yeah, like you said, now you can pee in the full house.
yeah. I've urinated in so many different locations. It's a dream I didn't know I had.
See, now how many people can say that? That alone is worth the movie. You know, that you've peed in all of these places. That's nice. You've marked your territory.
Yeah.
Why do you think people identify so strongly with a movie or TV show that they make these pilgrimages to see it or take a photo in front of it?
I just think we're seeing in the last decade how strong pop culture really is. You know, I mean, you know, movies have been around for 100 years. We are the generation that grew up watching TV and feeling connected to these characters. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Golden Girls, you're watching that every week at your house. Mm-hmm. And the way the camera's positioned, you feel like you're right there with, you know, Bea Arthur and Betty White, you have this sort of connection where it feels like family, it feels like home. So, you know, whereas some people may want to visit the Eiffel Tower, more people might want to see the Roseanne house or the Fresh Prince house. You know, it's like, it's the way we connect more in definitely recent years.
Yeah. And now in your experience, are people disappointed when they learn that the inside of the house doesn't always look even remotely close to what they see on the screen?
I would say people are not disappointed because they're never allowed in the house. You know, I think, you know, with our documentary showing some of the real ways some of these houses look, it becomes interesting and less disappointment. You know, it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wow, that's the way the Full House house looks, you know, or that's the way the Roseanne house looks. So it's way more fascinating than that. But like, you know, but then there's also, we went to the Silence of the Lambs house.
Oh, yeah.
And to stand in the same spots these actors like were really inside the house was unbelievable. Or the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, like John Candy was right there.
Right. And Twilight, isn't there a butt print still?
Well, no. So the butt print is from the people who go to that house and,
I was hoping that there was a little, you know, residue left over.
Well, you know what's fact? So, you know, it's funny because I was asking, because people forget that Twilight was like a smaller movie, you know, the first one.
Yeah.
So they shot that all in the house. So those stars were really, really there. It's so much so that they kept the toilet seat for the fact that those people... might have used the bathroom.
Who would have thought that this whole interview would revolve around bathroom, you know, just the whole bathroom antics?
I'm just following your lead.
You have no idea. We just started. So we got to pace ourselves here. You know, to a lot of people, it would probably be wonderful to live in a famous house. But in your exploration, you found that some homeowners do not feel that way.
Yeah, you know, it really kind of depends on like how popular your house is or what the fans' interaction is. Mm-hmm. You know, like Friday, people are smoking cannabis outside the house all the time.
Right.
Home Alone, it's a constant of people coming over because it's such a, you know, yearly tradition to watch.
Right.
Full House, there's this like, Full House is by far the biggest. I mean, it's like, it's the White House, Graceland, and Full House.
Really? That's the Mecca. That's the one.
Yeah. Well, because like there wasn't a time in which there wasn't a sea of people outside the Full House house. Like when I left, you know, coming out of the house to go down the stairs, like people didn't even get out of my way. You know, it was like, please, excuse me, you know? But like, you know, and then the Breaking Bad houses, like they have like a unique audience where they decide to, they feel the right to throw a pizza on top of the roof. So the homeowners had to put a gate, security cameras, and really stand guard 24/7. So it really depends on the interaction. Like I spoke to the owners of the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles house, and they like, oh, I love my fans. Yeah. I was like, well, what if you had the same amount of people come from Home Alone? They're like, we would not love our fans.
That's true. Well, you know, then that brings up a good point. Why do you think someone would purchase a home that they knew was in a cult film or TV show, knowing that they're going to get onlookers and fans stopping by? And if they're not a fan of it, why would you purchase it?
Well, so it's unique, right? So in the Breaking Bad house, it was their house that they allowed them to film.
They had no
idea. And at the time, it's like the smaller network, AMC, you know, it's a TV showing a star, a TV show starring the father from Malcolm in the Middle. Like, who knew Breaking Bad would be as big as it was?
Right.
You know, so it definitely wasn't like their fault. The show just got huge.
Right.
Whereas other people, you know, the Full House house or Golden Girls, when they buy it, I mean, they're just in nice areas, you know. Full houses in San Francisco, beautiful, like $4 million homes. And the same thing with the Golden Girls house. It's a $4 million house in Brentwood, California. So they are buying like a nice location.
Right.
I guess in hopes, like, I don't think anyone ever really understands the amount of people that come by. Like, oddly enough, the movie with Kid and Play from House Party, no one comes to that house, you know? But like Wonder Years, there's not that many people come, but some of the people who do try to go in the backyard and play basketball, like Kevin Arnold. So I don't know. It's a give or take.
Now, you tried to get into the Wonder Years, but they wouldn't let you in.
It's not that they wouldn't let me in. I just, they just never got back to me.
Oh, you know, well, like, yeah, so tomato, tomato.
Yeah, we would write letters, you know, like to these houses with like, you know, fun stamps and fun bright color envelopes. And some people got right back to me. Some people, I took two letters. Some people had to find their email. But, you know, some people just didn't respond. So you can't win them all.
No, you can't. But what you have accumulated between all the stores, I mean, you have many houses in your documentary. It's like, I don't even know how you fit them all. But it's amazing that you do. And we haven't even touched on some, like the Goonies house, which is a big, big focus of the documentary, which is a personal favorite of mine. And how do you feel now that they are planning a sequel?
I don't think that's real, actually.
That's not real?
No, I don't think it is. No, I think that's someone having a little bit of fun on the internet.
Really? I don't know. It sounded so good. And if it isn't, it's probably the best way to do it. Where they, you know, Sean Astin's character hides a piece of treasure and they all go back to find it as adults.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard from some people who had been working around in that property that is not real.
Oh, but you would know. I mean, you have the inside access. So if anyone knows, Tommy Avalone knows that. Yeah. And I'm glad they're not doing it, by the way. I'm really kind of glad. I got to say, don't mess with the originals, the good. You
I don't know.
There,
I mean, there's sometimes there's fun. Like, I mean, Ghostbusters Afterlife was amazing.
Different,
you know,
though. They made it different enough that it didn't.
Sure.
It's not a remake or something. So if they change the story and it just kind of continues the story, I like that if they do it well. But no, when you do a reboot just for a reboot's sake, oh, that ticks me off.
Yeah. But like, you know, but like, was it Clerks 2, Clerks 3, still good. What else was... Beetlejuice was fantastic.
Yes.
It's different from the original, but it's such... You're like, you know what? I'm actually enjoying just checking in with these people. It's like, yeah, sure, maybe the movie didn't need to be made, but it's like, I'm really happy it was.
Yeah, and it made money. So that's good to see. A studio actually turning a profit for once, and it's good.
Yeah.
It's good to see that we're on the upswing again after COVID and everything else.
As long as it's not true crime or superheroes, right?
Oh, my goodness. I could not agree with you more. And well, that's a totally different topic for a totally different day. But I want to take a little break before we get into all that, because I am chatting with director and co-writer of the hottest documentary in the country right now, The House From, Tommy Avalone. After the break, we'll talk more about Tommy's passions and projects. We'll be right back.
Choosing the right insurance company can be complex and confusing. At Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group, we don't just sell you an insurance policy, we sell you a lifetime of peace of mind, service, and satisfaction. A second-generation, family-owned and operated business in South Jersey, we're committed to protecting you and your family. With over 2,000 clients in the tri-state area, we are your local, trusted insurance experts specializing in business, life and health, and personal insurance. Contact Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group today to learn how we can get started on your insurance journey together. Visit www.log-insurance.com or call 856-627-2600. What's going on?
Hey guys, are you loving the show? Do you want to see more of The Scene? Well, guess what? You can, because The Scene with Doreen is now a weekly segment on the nationally syndicated television show, The Daily Flash. The Daily Flash is your daily destination for trending stories, celebrity updates, and industry highlights. And it's now your home to watch The Scene with Doreen. You can turn us on and watch every Wednesday across the country. Check your local times and listings at thescenewithdoreen.com.
Another box.
Oh, okay. I think Santa can make that happen. I've got that kind of pull at the North Pole.
When they come see you, they're just so full of joy. You can see if I'm sitting in my Santa chair and there's a line of people. They're smiling, they're laughing, they're talking, they're yelling, "Hey, Santa, hey, Santa." When I'm talking to another kid, they're just so full of joy. And that brings me joy.
Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I am your host, Doreen Taylor, and I'm chatting with director and co-writer of the new documentary, The House From, Tommy Avalone. Coming out of break, you heard a little bit of the trailer of I Am Santa Claus, and they are just celebrating the 10th anniversary on Blu-ray, which is available in November. Welcome back, Tommy. It's good to touch on all of these amazing documentaries, but your resume does have a lot of interesting things on it like that, but most notably, you dropped out of school one time to run for mayor.
Yeah, when I was 20 years old, I didn't really drop out, but maybe I did. So I was 20 years old and I was in college and I was in a couple classes and it just became like, I was like, oh, I'll just stop going and do this mayor thing. Cause it was just a bit, you know, I'm a huge Andy Kaufman fan.
Oh yeah.
So I just ran for mayor. I had friends that dressed like bodyguards, that were Tommy and the Politicians, you know? It was a fun time. And then eventually I was, cause it's like my birthday is October 29th and election is like what, November
5th? November 5th.
So you're like, yeah. So I was able to be 21 technically when I ran for mayor, but it was a fun time. I got 8% of the vote.
Ooh, that's pretty darn good. I was going to ask, how did you do? So that's a nice turnout. And do you still have any aspirations to run for office in the future?
I mean, honestly, I didn't then. You know, it was just it was just a funny thing to do. You know, like I liked the idea of, you know, being that sort of like Andy Kaufman like character, Tom Green. So it just felt like a nice, fun bit.
Yeah. Now, did you use it for anything? Like, you know, a lot of things you do when you're like 20 years old, you use it as a stepping stone for other things. Did that open any doors for you that were kind of unique?
WYSP in Philadelphia, rest in peace, was a radio station and they liked what I was doing and they hired me. And then I worked in radio for 11 years. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have met my wife and I wouldn't have gotten to the movies the way I was able to do, you know, so it all worked out. And what else did I do for mayor? I forget. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It definitely worked out and got me where I needed to be.
Uh-huh. And, you know, you like to do things that you're the king of satire in your earlier projects, especially. You have a lot of, you know, very humorous kind of tongue-in-cheek things. I suppose you can't do much of that, though, in documentary filmmaking anymore.
You can play around with stuff. Like, you know, what was fun in our edit for The House From is the woman who at the time owned Jesse's house from Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's talking about her relationship with the house versus the relationship it has with its audience.
Right.
You know, and she's like, oh, yeah, you know, we would have like my mom's birthday. We'd have Thanksgiving dinner. And my father loved oyster stew. And we were able to cut that with like, you know, Jesse smoking, Walter White like killing people, you know, a bathtub flying through the floors with blood everywhere. So it's like it was a juxtaposition of that sort of edit that I think that's, I don't want to say satire, but it is like that fun sort of way of being funny in a documentary.
It's true, because a lot of people, they'll do a documentary, must be serious. Everything must be serious. And I like that you have levity and that you do bring a sense of humor.
There's some great directors out there who add humor to their documentaries. Yeah. Some Kind of Heaven was fantastic. You know, Clay Teal's Finders Keepers was fantastic. And obviously, was it Seth Gordon did King of Kong was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to mention and give a shout out that there's a famous voice that's narrating The House From. Jason Lee from My Name is Earl, Almost Famous, Chasing Amy. Why was Jason the voice that you wanted to tell your story?
Yeah, so we wanted like a sound of television that narrated. So it was really either Jason Lee or Daniel Stern that was going to be able to do this. And Jason Lee was, you know, narration of My Name is Earl.
Right.
So it's had that sort of familiar already sound and a familiar feel. And I've just been, you know, in love with Jason's voice since Mallrats. You know, I mean, the way he talks in Chasing Amy and all that sort of, it's just, he's just got a great, great voice. So it was amazing. I was able to reach out to him on Instagram. He had been, he had watched a movie I did prior, the Bill Murray Stories, and we just sealed the deal that way. It was great.
Oh, that's so good. And you're not a stranger for having famous names in your projects. You've worked with wrestler Mick Foley, Joey Fat One, Fatone from NSYNC, and even the late Gilbert Gottfried. You have a knack for getting a lot of these amazing actors in your projects.
Yeah, and we're trying out this new guy recently. He's the executive producer for The House from. His name is Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, who is that? I'm not sure I've heard that.
He's the guy from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Oh, yes. There you go. I think he did some stuff after, but I'm not really sure exactly what.
I fell off after Van Wilder.
See, there's that satire we're talking about, the levity. So you bring
if you can see this, I have a video section, a video story in my basement, and I have a whole Ryan Reynolds section over here with like Change Up and Definitely Maybe, Voices.
Wow, you are a fan. Now, did that come before or after you kind of hooked up with him for this new The House From kind of relationship?
I've always been a fan of Ryan Reynolds, for sure. You know, I mean, his abs are incredible. But like, so when we were looking to do this, you know, I have my little sections here. I have my, you know, Richard Linklater, I have my Quentin Tarantino, Kevin Smith, and Morgan Spurlock. So like, once I started working with him, I was like, I should make a Ryan section. And I already had so many different Ryan movies.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's nice. And does he know that you have that in your basement?
I don't think so.
He will now.
He'll eventually find out. Yeah.
He will now. Oh, I got to take a little bit of a break and I want to come back and talk more. You're listening to The Scene with Doreen. I have been talking with the director and co-writer of the new documentary, The House From, Tommy Avalone. We'll talk more about his hot new documentary, what he's cooking up next, and we're going to wrap it all up when we come back.
No more mold. No more damage. No more outdated old bathroom. No more slipping and hurting. No more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-827-4067. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-827-4067. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-827-4067. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-827-4067. 800-827-4067.
It just exploded nationwide.
It was a cultural phenomenon.
What color is happier than purple? No color.
This is Barney, and this is what he sounded like.
Barney stands for inclusion, acceptance.
You should love everyone. We all have Cheryl Leach to thank for that.
As her beloved character was heading into the stratosphere, people couldn't accept that this was just a show, and so let the bashing begin.
Some of the rumors that I heard, Barney hides drugs in his tail.
They were violent and explicit.
Death and dismemberment of my family.
I love you, Barney.
They were going to come and find me, and they were going to kill me.
Just the dark side of this whole moment. That must have devastated Cheryl.
There was something larger going on here.
I don't think you could ever think somebody would go and shoot someone.
Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. I am your host, Doreen Taylor, and I'm chatting with Tommy Avalone, the director and co-writer of The House From, the hot new documentary that explores the unique experience of living in a famous house from a TV show or movie. Welcome back, Tommy.
How are you?
Good. What I really love about you is that you embrace nostalgia. And especially in the stories that you choose to tell, whether it be what we just heard about a beloved childhood character like Barney the Dinosaur in I Love You, You Hate Me, Santa Claus in I Am Santa Claus, or famous pop culture homes in your latest, The House From. What draws you to these nostalgic stories?
Yeah, I don't think I do it for like, oh, you know what would be nostalgic? It was just, you know, Bill Murray It was like, I heard he goes to people's parties and does the dishes. Like, I wonder why that is. Let's figure it out. Or we saw some guy dressed like Santa Claus in the mall, and we're like, I wonder what family he goes home to. You know, and when I saw this Barney clip on Instagram, it was a 1993 University of Nebraska video where these college kids were beating up dolls of Barney as a Barney bashing event. And the newscaster was like, well, that's the future of our country right there. I was like, we're living in that future now. So it's like exploring love and hate through this purple dinosaur. So it's I guess I live in a pop culture mind, you know. I love the idea of telling stories about, you know, love and hate or living in the moment, being connected to things or identity through these sort of pop cultural icons.
Yeah. And you seem to find your passion in exploring other people's passions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess a long time ago, someone told me, you know, caterpillars are not interesting, but the person who's obsessed with caterpillars are, you know? So I always thought that was a unique way of looking at something, whereas like people who are into something are usually in it for fun reasons.
That's really well said. I like that. And I'm going to probably use that in the future. Do I have to you know, trademark it for you and like, you know, kind of give you credit, royalties, your checks in the mail? But I really like that. That was excellent. As the holiday season approaches, I would be remiss if I did not mention your documentary, I Am Santa Claus, where you follow four Santas around their day-to-day lives. What made you want to dive in? I think you kind of said it, but really, what made you want to dive into personal lives of Santa Claus?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, especially at the time, like a Christmas fan, you know? But yeah, we were at Defert Mall, and we were just talking to this guy taking pictures of Santa. He's like, I used to be a Santa, but I can't do it anymore. And he was like getting all upset. It's like, it's just crazy to think that what life this man goes home to, you know? So we started reaching out to the different Santas through Facebook, and I actually even found one at the Persephone Chiller Theater, a horror festival, and I started talking to a couple different Santas. And it's just an interesting world. Subcultures are quite interesting. There's the Amalgamated Order of Real Bearded Santas, and they were at the time fighting with the Fraternal Order of Real Bearded Santas. You know, Morgan Spurlock was the executive producer on that, and Mick Foley was our fifth Santa in there, you know, kind of doing it for the first time.
Yeah.
And seeing him, this wrestler, sort of figure out how to be Santa. I mean, he's still my kid's Santa Claus. It's really awesome.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, he's a great guy. I love him. He's an awesome guy. And it's so nice. You have a good relationship with him. And it's gone on for many years. It's wonderful.
If you blink, you could miss it. But I found that Mick Foley went to one of the locations from Halloween and took a picture, and we snuck it into the house from.
Oh, very nice. A little bit of a like Easter egg. Is that what they would call it or something? Where you planted it in there. So see, I'm trying to learn the lingo. I don't know. I'm not real good at that. But
we try to put a wrestler in every single one of our movies. You know, Santa, we were overboard. It was like, we had Foley, we had Rowdy Roddy Piper, Jerry Lawler, Tommy Dreamer, Blue Meanie, Diamond Dallas Page. And Ghost Heads, we had Zack Ryder and Bill Murray stories. We had Georgie Animal Steel, but he got cut. But like his spirit was there. You
his
know?
Spirit, his energy was still there.
It's in the DVD, you know? And then Waldo and Weed, which is way more serious of a movie.
Right.
But one of the people, Dr. Dina, mentioned that she got her name from Snoop Dogg. And Snoop Dogg is technically in the WWE Hall of Fame. So.
There you go. Boy, you're stretching it now, buddy.
You know, that was the biggest one.
That's creative.
Yeah. And Barney, we put some clips from WWE in there. And, you know, House from has Foley. So
I remember my first experience of Tommy Avalone was I Love You, You Hate Me. And I was just mesmerized by it. I really was enthralled by watching it. And it was creatively put together. The story was told very well. And I think I learned a lot because I knew none of it. I really didn't know any of it. And you told the story really well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about Barney, you know, like if you weren't two, you know, you weren't really into him, you know, but you just heard of the stuff, and people would, you know, a lot of the TV shows at the time would make fun of him a lot.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not for them, you know, and, you know, I think people have a hard time when things they're too old for that thing, you know, and they're like, it just reminds them of how that we're all just getting old.
Yeah. And I think people never want to be left out. They feel like, you know, kind of angry if they're not part of whatever that is.
Absolutely.
And then they lash out. Yeah. And like you saw in the documentary, I'm not giving anything away, but they really brutalize poor little Barney and his little stuffed plushies and things like that. Yeah, they go crazy on poor
Absolutely.
Barney. Next up, I heard that you are working on a documentary about MySpace.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we start filming in a week.
Oh, so my goodness. You really are.
Yeah, it's been hard for me to like make my change, shift my mind from like, you know, houses to MySpace. Yeah. So I'm slightly in a fog.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're entitled.
But, you know, good problems to have, you know?
Yeah. You're entitled to have that kind of transitional period where you kind of have to regroup and, you know, refresh.
Like, oh, yeah.
What do they say on set? You know, you reset, set back to one.
Oh, yeah,
is
yeah,
that
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
go back to one. So you're kind of having to do that. But inquiring minds want to know about everyone's favorite friend, Tom. I mean, what's he up to now after he sold the company and retired in 2009? What's he doing? Did he exist? Is there really a Tom?
That's a funny question. Yeah, I mean, we're working on it. You know, like we have a lot of the original creators of MySpace attached. So
good.
It all should be good. And you'll be able to find out probably in a year or so.
And now I want to know. This is like the biggest question of all. Last time I spoke to you, we talked a lot about Fuddruckers. You know, for people that don't know, the hamburger chain. I still want to know, will there be a Fuddruckers documentary in the future for Tommy Avalone?
No, but I'm pulling up right now to make sure I have the accurate number of
They've closed a few more now, I think. Yeah, since
opened a few more. There's a new one they're opening in D.C. So, yeah, I've been to 32 different Fuddruckers.
Wow. So what? I got to look back now in our tape from a prior life when you were on a different show with me. How many you had said back about a year ago? I wonder how many have you done in the last year?
I think I just jumped on the one. Like I did, what was it? The last one I went on was Ashburn, Virginia. That was the last one I've been to. That one might have been new to you.
Yeah, I don't know that one. Yeah. I don't even know that town. I have no idea what that. I think you're making that up.
I think it's like a suburb of D.C. or something.
Well, that's cool. See, for people that don't know, Tommy is the biggest Fuddruckers fan I think possible. I think more than the owners of Fuddruckers. I think you should be owner of Fuddruckers.
The CEO follows me on Instagram, and Fuddruckers follow me, and I try to do something with them all the time, but they don't really quite understand my passion.
You know, like you said, the caterpillar is not exciting on its own, but it's interesting about the people who are into and obsessed.
Yeah, I'm into Fuddruckers. I'm into it real deal. I talk about it way more than anyone
ever should.
Does, yeah.
Well, maybe I should do a documentary about you and tell your story about Fuddruckers. See, I now see you're inspiring me. Maybe I should just, you know.
I might not be available for that.
Oh, for me. Even on your birthday, you were available for me. So I can't. Oh, that's where you draw the line, huh, Fuddruckers?
Yeah.
Oh, and so you got the MySpace coming on. You haven't met your wife through MySpace?
Yeah. Well, we worked together at the radio station, but we started talking on MySpace because it's like, you know, you're not going to just walk up to someone in real life and do it. You know, you got to
Yeah, I understand.
Go and hide yourself slightly on the internet.
Right. No, but look at where that came from. Two beautiful children and just a lovely life and a lovely wife and wonderful projects. And the new documentary, The House From, it's on Fubo, Maximum Effort Channel. For those that don't know, Ryan Reynolds channel. Most VOD platforms. And of course, you can get yours at Apple TV. Any other places out there that I'm missing?
Well, yeah, just the
everywhere.
Amazon, the Google Play, you know, usually wherever you can legally download movies, it should be there.
I love it. And so now that MySpace is gone, how do people follow you, Tommy?
Well, technically, MySpace is still around. It's like
it's a ghost town.
Ghost town, but it's there. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I'm on Instagram. It's my name, Tommy Avalone, and the number 3. That's A V A L L O N E.
Yes.
But yeah, Instagram is my main thing. DoubleWindsorFilms.com has a lot of our contact information.
Great. And everybody, check out the documentary. I saw it. Highly recommend it. If you like any of those movies, those shows or TV movies, you're going to love this. It brings you back to a time when things are happier and like I said, nostalgia just to feel good. We need a little bit of that right now.
Yeah, you know, like there's so many things that get greenlit nowadays are true crime and murder.
Yes.
And we just wanted to make a fun watch. You know, it was to us, it was a National Geographic documentary, but instead of lions, tigers, and bears, it was famous houses.
I love it. That's a perfect way to say it. Ah, and on that note, I don't think you can do any better than that, Tommy Avalone. And
you.
I should let you go because it's your birthday and you need to celebrate. So thank you for spending a little time with me. I wish you the best with this film and all of the films. And I want to be in the next pre-screening, please.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much. You're awesome. And the movie's amazing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Me too. Bye.
See ya.
Stay tuned because right after the break, we have the CEO from StudioAuctions.com, Brad Teplitsky, joining us. Don't go anywhere.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and do not have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you do not pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call. If you've been injured in an auto accident, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428. 800-320-9428.
You see, I'm both Bruce Wayne and Batman. Not because I have to be. Now, because I choose to be.
You want to know what comes between me and my Calvins? Nothing.
Calvin Klein Jeans.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With great power comes great responsibility. This is my gift. My curse. Who am I? I'm Spider-Man.
Oh, so what does Batman, Brooke Shields, The Godfather, and Spider-Man all have in common? Well, my next guest on The Scene with Doreen is here to tell us. In the first half of the show, we explored how a movie or TV show location, such as a house, can become so iconic that it is a character all within itself. In keeping with that same theme, we're now going to dig into the props that are the uncredited stars of iconic pop culture movies and TV shows. Studio Auctions is the premier auction house renowned for curating authentic, original, and influential pieces of American cinematography history. They are set to unveil their part two of From Bombshells to Blasters, an auction you can't refuse. This curated auction offers the best of the best from the industry's most holy grail items from blockbusters like Batman, Iron Man, Superman, as well as specialized collectibles from icons including Brooke Shields and Marlon Brando. There's even the opportunity to spend the rest of eternity next to Hugh Hefner and Marilyn Monroe. That's right. Here to talk about the exclusive Studio Auctions collection is CEO of Studio Auctions and the man with the most interesting stuff in the world, Brad Teplitsky. Welcome to the show, Brad. What's going on?
How are you? Thank you so much for having me. That was a great intro. Can we hire you? We need someone to help us.
You know what? I can moonlight. I have no problem freelancing. Absolutely. My people will call your people.
Okay.
No, you do have such an amazing job. How does an attorney from Toronto, Canada, become one of the biggest curators of pop culture memorabilia?
A lot of good luck. I started collecting around 2014 Hollywood memorabilia. I didn't even know you could collect this stuff, that it was for sale. And I found out that Bill Shatner, I was a big Star Trek fan, and that William Shatner's tunic, one of his shirts from the original Star Trek series, was coming up for auction. Mm-hmm. I got so excited. I couldn't believe it. And the rest follows from that. It was just fantastic. I started to see all of these incredible items from my past when I was a kid growing up, these TV shows and movies that I love so much. And you could buy items from them. And it sort of makes you think, reminds you of your past and when you're a kid or when you're a teenager or even when you're an adult, but sort of great moments in television and film history that you really cherish if you're into movies and films like so many of us are.
So many of us are.
So what I did was I started, sorry to answer your question, I started collecting. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, people are selling these things, making some money, making a business or living out of it. And as I started to buy and sell, I said, why don't I start my own auction house? Try and do it a different way. So that's how it happened.
That's amazing. And only 2014. I mean, that was not that long ago. And look what you have amassed. I mean, these collections are incredible. I was going to ask, do you own a lot of memorabilia still?
Some. Not as much as I used to. A lot of it's now been sold privately or through our auctions or even other auction houses before we opened up our own. I still have a decent collection, though. And some of the items for sale are mine, but most of them are from consigners, people who, like me, were collectors or still are collectors and decided to part with some of their items, put them up for auction.
Has it ever happened where you have an item has come up for auction and you're like, no, that's mine. It's not going to auction. I'm going to keep it myself.
Oh my God. No, not yet. That's an excellent question because that could happen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, in absolutely.
Fact, one of the things that I regret selling, it was from Rocky II. I was a big Rocky fan.
Oh.
And I sold it. It was a banner that hung outside of Mickey's gym. I don't know if you remember, there was
absolutely
Mickey's gym.
We're outside Philadelphia. So we are born, raised, bred on Rocky. Right. So there you go.
So you know exactly what I'm talking
about.
I was a big Stallone collector, at least for mostly Rocky. And I had the vinyl banner for Mickey's gym from Rocky II. And I sold it. Oh my God.
Oh.
So if that ever comes up again, boy, I'm buying it back.
You're going to buy it back. And I bet you it's going to go for a lot more than you probably sold it for.
Oh, why are you saying that?
I know. I got to be the bearer of bad news. I'm sorry. But you know how this works. You know how it works. Yes. Now, earlier in the show, I interviewed Tommy Avalone, who's the director and co-writer of the new documentary, The House From, which explores famous houses from TV and movies and the unique experience of living in them. So I'd like to ask you a similar question that I asked him. Why do you think people identify so strongly with a movie, TV show, or even a character that they will spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to own just a very small piece of it?
Wow. So people do that. Sometimes I think I may have mentioned to bring close to them a time where they were perhaps not happier, but a happy moment or a happy time. That'd be one reason. So, you know, a lot of people have fond memories, right, of growing up when they were younger. Some people think, well, maybe that was more of an innocent time. So it's a reminder to them of that time, that movie, and the prop reminds them of the movie, right? That's one reason. But then also, if it's a character, sometimes people identify with a certain character. They sort of see themselves in the character or they're empathetic for what the character went through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another reason why I think people collect and would be interested in a particular item, a dress that was worn by someone or maybe one of their favorite actors. Like we've sold some personal items of Marlon Brando and some items that were used in the movie, The Godfather.
Right.
But for a personal item, we're selling his personalized telephone that had numbers of some famous people.
Ooh.
Someone might want that, you know, and say, I've owned Marlon Brando's phone. Not to brag about it necessarily, but to have it beside them to use it or to display it because they think, wow, this is my connection to Marlon and I love Marlon for these reasons.
Right. It's like the Kevin Bacon thing. It's like the degrees of separation. You've now cut it down to the one little degree of separation to you and Marlon Brando now.
Exactly. It's funny. I was just saying to someone that in Hollywood, it's like 2 degrees of separation, not like 6 degrees. You know, everyone knows someone who's in the business and at least in the entertainment business. And you're right. When you have the phone beside you or something he wore, like we're selling a robe that Michael Jackson gave, because they were friends, gave Marlon Brando. Mm. And on the back of it is the big S symbol from Superman, because Marlon was in Superman.
Uh-huh.
So that'll be an interesting item to see how it does. But when you own that or the phone, it's cutting it down to 1 degree, right?
Right. You are like right next, especially if it's their handwriting or it's something where they actually created it themselves too. Then all of a sudden, you like a lot of artists, a lot of celebrities, they're artists. They make a painting and it's like, wow, that came out of them. And that just is a totally cool thing.
I never thought about it that way. That's very interesting the way you put it. It's cutting down the degrees of separation to 0 or 1, however you look at it.
Right. Now, I feel I must mention, talking about getting close to someone, in this upcoming auction, you can bid on a plot in the crypt at Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park and Mortuary in Los Angeles. 2 spaces from where Marilyn Monroe is buried and 1 space from Hugh Hefner's resting place.
Well, Hugh did it. So if Hugh did it, it's probably good for the rest of us. He wanted to be beside Marilyn Monroe and he bought the crypt beside her and that's where he is for eternity. So now if you want, come to Studio Auctions and I think it's on November 23 and 24.
Yes, you are.
The crypt is slated for the 23rd and you can bid on it. And if you win, you, when the time is writing, God willing, not too soon, you, not you doing, but you meaning.
Do you know something that I don't know? Who told you?
Not at all.
No, is this the first time something like this has come up for auction? It's a very, very unusual item.
Very. I mean, we love having it. And it's all part of the celebrity. I mean, we're more than just props and costumes. We're pop culture.
Sure.
For example, Brooke Shields jeans. But relating to the crib, yeah, I mean, why not? And a lot of people would like the idea, the notion of being visited so frequently because everyone comes to see Marilyn. Some people come to see Hugh.
Yeah.
So you're in good company.
Two of the sexiest people probably in our modern pop culture history. I mean, you got two sexy people next to you, so why not?
That's right. Why not?
I would like to see the after hour parties there, you know, when everybody closes down. I bet you there's some interesting little stories going on there behind the scenes, quote unquote, if you believe in that.
That's funny.
So,
yeah. Sure.
Out of all of these amazing pieces, I mean, I'm going to talk about some of them before we go, but what's your favorite piece in this upcoming auction?
Oh my God, in this auction, I should know that and have that right off the top of my head.
Probably Brooke Shields. I would assume her jeans. That's pretty cool. Talk about sexy.
I'm thrilled that we have it. I'm honored that Brooke, you know, everyone says that it's a cliche, but I really am honored that Brooke decided to consign that and some other important items from her past to us. But in terms of my favorite item.
Come on, Han Solo's blaster.
The
Val Kilmer's Batman.
Iron Man costume. There's just so many great items.
Deadpool. Yeah, the cowl from Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds.
The cowl. Mm-hmm. And now we have two of the guns. They're toy replica guns, but used by Ryan in Deadpool Wolverine.
Ooh.
None of that stuff's ever been to auction. So many of our items have never been to auction. So I'm excited about those. But I think a favorite might be Iron Man or the Spider-Man costume. There's some personal stuff of Marilyn's. That's great.
Yes.
Including her suitcase and luggage. I don't know. It's a good question, but there's just too much.
It's like your children. You can't just pick your favorite because it would be like offending the others. So that's a good answer. You don't want a single one out. They're all
Thank you. I'm going to be political.
So yes, right. So say someone wants.
But if we were selling Stallone the banner from Rocky II, I'd have no problem.
That would be yours.
You wouldn't be
selling it. You know that.
Yeah, I hope the person who owns it's watching it. Because
you know what? Maybe
I want it back.
I'll put out like an APB out there looking for it, and maybe through social media.
And you're Philadelphia based, so people will take you more seriously.
There you go. Oh, that's the first time I've ever heard that I'm taken more seriously because I'm from Philly. That's not usually the case. Let me just tell you.
Okay.
Now, say someone wants the Batman suit worn by Val Kilmer in Batman Forever, or Brooke Shields' iconic Calvin's, or Han Solo's blaster, or Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man suit he wore in the original 2002 Spider-Man movie. How do they bid?
Good question. Thank you. They go online and register at studioauctions.com, or they can register at Live Auctioneers. Live Auctioneers assists other auction houses, and it's a place where people can bid as well if we're registered with Live Auctioneers, which Studio Auctions is. So you can bid directly on our website. Go to studioauctions.com and just fill out the form, and you'll be ready to go. You'll be ready to bid on November 23rd or 24th, and you can pre-bid, which is bidding even before the auction starts. And that opens up tomorrow night, I believe.
Wonderful. So by the time this airs, you guys can already pre-bid. So go to studioauctions.com, as he told you, November 23rd and 24th in Burbank, California, and worldwide streaming for bidders. And also just, I want to make sure that everyone realizes that when you bid on an item, they are authenticated. They go through a thorough process of being like, I mean, how do you do that? How do you make sure that all of these items are real and genuine? And what does someone get when they get the item? Do they get a certificate? What do they get?
Another great question. So we have the approach to authentication is, firstly, we ask the consignor, the owner, where did you get the item from? We ask them what the history of it is to check whether the explanation and the background makes sense, because it's like going through an exam. And the second thing we do is we look at the item and look what it's made of and see whether those parts and materials were used at the time. Another thing we do, we can't always do this because of either technology or because of the type of product, but we try and see if it matches and looks like the item that was used during filming. So we'll go back and look at a clip from the TV show or the film. Now, once we've determined that it's an authentic, once we sell the item, we'll give you a certificate of authenticity, which confirms that the item is real, authentic. And if there are, of course, any issues, people can always speak to us. But we haven't had any problems yet. Thank God. We're very careful.
That's cool. I was going to ask you that question. Have you ever been duped? Has there ever been an item that has that they wanted to sell? Did anyone ever come in and you just caught it and you're like, I don't think
so. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It happens. Not a lot, but it happens. If you're doing your job, we'll catch it usually. And we haven't had any issues, but we're very careful. It's part of our reputation and we want our customers to be happy.
Amazing. And I'm very happy I got to talk to you today. StudioAuctions.com. Oh, learn more about each item that's available. There's a full list. And I know that items are still being added. Pre-bidding has already begun. And the auction will take place in person, like I said, November 23rd and 24th in Burbank, California, with worldwide streaming for bidders. Brad Teplitsky, it has been a pleasure. I wish you the best with this auction and all the other auctions you have. Because
you do
music memorabilia, you do sports memorabilia. You don't just do Hollywood, you do it all.
That's right, we do.
Great, great. You know, I do a lot of musicians. I don't do a lot of musicians. I'm not that popular, but I interview a lot of musicians. And so it's exciting that you do a lot of the music ones as well.
Thank you. Send them our way. Thanks, Doreen, very much.
Yes, thank you very much. You have a wonderful day and good luck.
You too.
And good luck to all the bidders.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you to my guest today, Brad Teplitsky from Studio Auctions and Tommy Avalone. And thank you again for tuning in to The Scene with Doreen. I'm here each week across the country bringing you the best interviews from the entertainment world and beyond. Get connected with me on social media and on our official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And make sure to tune in next week so you can find out what's going on. Bye, y'all.